Last week we ended with Sif Hei. I just want to touch back on Sif Hei again before we move forward. Because I realized that last week I only presented the approach of the Shach, and the Rov HaPoskim really presented focus on the Taz. So let's spend a couple more minutes on that. Sif Hei centered on the Mordechai. Mordechai had been quoted a diak from the Gemara in Chulin, the first parak that indicates, Mordechai thought, the diak indicates that there's no chiyuv tevila on a shechita knife. So that's not l'chaladeus, that's machlokas harishonim. There are a number of rishonim who disagree with the Mordechai. The Darkei Moshe quoted Chachmei Ashkan disagreed, Marash and Tashbetz. The Vilna Gaon Sif Katan Yud Gimel quoted a series of Chachmei Sfarad, who seemed to disagree. So the Shulchan Aruch quote says Yesh Mi Shomer Shein Tzarich Tefila. The Rama said, but since there's so many Chalkim, you should be Tovo Blo Bracha. And then the Rama went mysteriously on to talk about what sounds like a parallel case, which is the Barzalim, the metal rollers that perforate the matzah dough before you put it into the oven, said, Eino Tzarech Tefila. The Shach said, what do you mean, Tzarech Tefila? You just told me a line earlier that the Sakel Shashchita is a Safik, so why are you so convinced here, Eino Tzarech Tefila? Again, what's the issue? The issue is, or what the Mordechai had theorized, the Gemara seems to say that it's Eino Tzarech Tefila. How come Eino Tzarech Tefila? It must be that's not Kli Suda. Hayitach is not Kli Suda. It clearly is metal. Clearly talk about a case where it's... The Gemara saw a case where it's lakuach min ha'akum. So it must be it's not a kli suda. How can not be a kli suda? You can't eat meat without a shechita knife. So the Mordechai had said, well, apparently kli suda, it's not sufficient that it be necessary. A shechita knife is definitely necessary, but apparently it needs to be involved with, and it's clearly in contact with the animal, the shechita knife, but it has to be in contact with the food item when it's already an edible food item. At least that by the time the kli is, that's what the Mordechai had theorized. And maybe part of the definition of kli suda is that by the time the kli is done with the food is ready to eat. So you have a pan, food goes in raw, but it comes out edible. The shechita knife, the food, even after the shechita is done, obviously the you're one step closer, but the meat is still raw and full of blood. It's far from edible. Okay, so that was the Mordechai shita. Other Rishonim disagree, fine. But the Ramad quoted that and said, since the machlok is yitpo b'li bracha, the barzalim that deal with the matzah dough is the same issue, exact same issue. So how come the Ramad is splitting the psak? So it's discussed last time, the Shach came up with a teretz, a chiluk. Why would be that we're more convinced that you're pater by the barzalim than by the sakon shel shechita? Perhaps it's because the shechitanev could be, the shach said, the shechitanev could be used for other things. The barzalim are really a very specialized tool. There isn't really anything to do with them. Another example of that, by the way, that's more common in our homes, unless you have a matzah bakery at home, something you might have at home that is similar to the barzalim, a specialized tool of that sort is a meat tenderizer. Those mallets that typically have a metal face that you would tap raw meat or sometimes raw schnitzel to flatten it, to soften it, to flatten it. It's only used for raw meat and chicken. It's not, what else would you use in the kitchen would you use a mallet for? A mallet with a metal face. It's only used for raw meat. So that's like the barzalim. It's a specialized tool that's only used with the inedible, thus far inedible food. So that was the Shach's chiluk. That's the Shach's chiluk, but the Vilna Gaon points out that it's very, very difficult. So it's very, very difficult. Number one, because you don't use a sakon shel shechita for anything else either. And number two, because the chiluk that he suggests doesn't seem appropriate to look at whether it could be potentially used for other things. Doesn't seem appropriate because in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, we go basar tashmish, not basar haroi. We're not focused. This is the grunt sifkatan yudalit. It's the grunt sifkatan yudalit. He points out we're going to get mircham later this afternoon to sif ches, where that issue comes up as well. we generally make decisions and categorize kelim based in the world of tefillos kelim based on how they're actually used, not how they potentially could be used. So it's hard to understand why it should matter whether the shechita knife could have been used for something else, the barzum can't. But lamasa, that's not my intention. So that's why the Vilna Gaon said, plus, what one could add also, the whole mukkar is shechita knives. And that was the mukkar that Mordechai had in the Gemara for this whole idea was a Gemara in Chulin Daf Ches is talking about Sakhan Shoshchita. So it's hard to say that we're not sure about Sakhan Shoshchita, but we're more convinced that the Barzalim are Pater. Sakhan Shoshchita is the Makkah. So the Vilna Gaon says he prefers the approach of the Taz. The Taz writes that the Taz is accused of the Shach. And the Taz says there's no machlok, there's no stira. He says that's the Rambam meant. Rambam was giving more examples of Sakhan Shechita. He said, and the Barzalim. He didn't say Yipavli Bracha because he told you that a line before. He's just trying to say, here's another example. Of that same phenomenon. It's a long Taz and Sifkat and Zayin. No, he means Aim Tzrich and Tefillah v'Bracha. It's not the Rambam. He just explained the line before. So in a Chanami, you might say the Taz al Dachak in the language of the Ramah, but as the Gaon points out, the Shach is not Dachak in the language of the Ramah, but the Shach is Dachak the Svara. And there are other poskim who work with this as well. Take a look at the Pischei Tshuva in Sif Kat and Vav. Pischei Tshuva in Sif Kat and Vav close to the Tshuva's Shev Yaakov, Charles and Tshuva's Shev Yaakov. Keil ma nekibon bitanur, ve lokhin mimayim chamen shebo, ve lishos isos hapas. You have containers of water that are connected to the oven. It's an old-fashioned oven, and it's usually used for non-food purposes. So, sidei lo mar she'en tzarech tefila, kalal. Afim heim shel matachas. They're metal, they don't need tefila. After pa'amim, and here's the key note for our purposes. After pa'amim shavchim mayim chamish bo tei. Even though you'll sometimes take some hot water from that and have a cup of tea. But he says, you should follow Rov Tashmisho. So that's a lie. Not only is it Roy, it's even occasionally used, but it's generally not used. So you see from the Pischei Tshuva also that we're not looking at Roy. There are other posts who also adopt the Taz. So Halacha Lamasa, I think that is the predominant approach. That we assume that all of the, it doesn't matter whether it could be used for something, it can't be used for something. We look at, we follow the actual Tashmish, we go Basar Tashmish, not Basar Roy. And therefore, all these scenarios, whether it could be used or couldn't be used for something else, Lamasa, of what this Kli is meant for, what the Kli is used for, is a food item, but before it's edible, so that falls under the Mordechai we assume we make all. The other Rishonim we assume would be Machmer. Halacha Lamaisi we would say Tevila below Bracha. Now, in the next issue in the world of defining Kli Suda, after having dealt in Sif Dalid with contact and Sif Hey with the stage of the food, so it comes up in Sifan Vav and Zayin, which are moving on to the next condition. Next condition being. Being Kli Mateches, and we're going to look at how Kli Mateches intertwines with Kli Suda. So, the next couple of Sifim, Vav and Zayin, as you saw, are rooted in the Tosus the Hilchasa, because the Gemara had raised the issue. Of contact. The Gemara raises the issue that if you have a kli that's, the Gemara raises the issue, what do you do with a kli that's a blend of different materials? It's not entirely metal, vaday chayv, not entirely wood or rubber, vaday pater, but it's a blend of the two. So the Gemara had spoken about, well, if you have something that's plated, so we're going to look at the outer layer. You have a ceramic core that's plated with metal, so then it is, Gemara says, it's chayv. Gemara says, in that case, you're chayv. And Tosis had said, well, it's only if you have the metals on the inside, but not if the metals on the inside, the outer layer, it's plated, you've plated the container of the kli. But if it's just around the edges, Tosis thinks you're pater. And the Tosis also says, the kli eitz michushakim, saviv barzel mibachutz. Tosis wants to know, what do you do with a wooden barrel that has metal bands around it? So it's wood and it's metal. So what should be the din? So Tosis right now argues that it's the same. Tosis argues it's the same as a kli. Just to be clear, Tosis had already said, "Here's my cup, or here's my mug, or here's my barrel." I'm sorry for the wavy lines. But Tosis says when the Gemara says it's coated, it means it's coated here. But if it's just coated around the outside, the metal is not in contact with the food inside, it's garnished. And Tosis, the same is true. So this Tosis thinks is proper. Tosis, the same is true when you have a barrel with pieces of wood, and you have the metal bands around. And Tosis says, proper. And they reference the sugya in Shabbos about Mamed. And they say, but it's irrelevant. What's that sugya in Shabbos? So that's about defining the identity of a kli in a tumah and tara situation. Because Maseches Kelim, the last 29 prakim Maseches Kelim are about Hilchos Kelim. The four items in the world of Mekabel Tumah, that can Mekabel Tumah from something else, or Adam Kelim, Ochel, and Mashkim, each of which has its own rules and regulations. When does it qualify as a Mekabel Tumah? Within the world of Kelim, we may have spoken about this a little bit earlier in the year, within the world of Kelim, each material has its own unique quirks. There's specific rules for what makes it's actually Mishnayos Nechulin. Specific rules for what makes a wooden kli makabel tumah, specific rules for what qualifies a metal kli to makabel tumah. So, and there are several, the kelim was added, Maseches Kelim, after the first parak, which is introduction to Seder Taurus, Maseches Kelim is organized by material. Several program on this material, several program on that material. So it's very relevant to be able to, in the world of tumah and tara, to be able to identify what is the category of this kli. If I have a kli that's a composite of different materials, do I define it as a wooden kli, as a metal kli, as a stone kli, as a glass kli? It makes enough kamina. So the Gemara wants to know, a case similar to the wooden barrel, it's primarily wood, but those metal pieces, the metal bands, are critical for the structure of the kli. It's primarily wood, but the wood would fall apart were it not for the metal bands. So the metal bands are mamad, they're holding it together. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara wants to know, although the metal is certainly in terms of quantity, and even it's not even involved directly in the function, as the wooden beams are actually holding the wine in, but the metal is critical for holding the wood together. So it's a mamet. The Gemara wants to know, and Shagmarit has a debate in Masechet Shabbos, should you say from a Tumah and Tara perspective, HaKol Holach Achar Mamet or not? Should we deem this a metal kli because of the role that the metal plays? Or should we say, no, just because it's a mamet, it is crucial, but it's still secondary. And we still see it primarily as a wooden kli. So Tosa says, but that's all entirely irrelevant in the world of Tefillas Kelim. That's an interesting discussion in terms of Tumah and Tara, but it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant in the world of Tefillas Kelim. You look at the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara, though, he says that's the approach of Tosa. Tosa presents as just one opinion. But the Mordechai in the back of Gemara says that's the approach of Tosfos, that the wooden barrel is pater from tefillah, but the Maharami Rutenberg disagreed. Maharami Rutenberg held that it is chayv in tefillah. So what's driving that machlokas? So the Maharam is assuming two things. Number one, he's assuming that we should paskin al kol halach achar mamed in terms of the sugya in Shabbos. And number two, which Tosfos doesn't really take a stand on, because number two, the Mordechai thinks that sugya is relevant. The Tosfos that said the sugya is irrelevant, I don't care whether halach hachamam or not, that's not relevant to his kelim. What's the issue? After all, should be the same issue. Is this a metal kli? Is this a wooden kli? Why should I differentiate between tumah and tara on the one hand and the mitzvah tefillas kelim on the other? So what seems to be the issue is that Maharam would say that the Gemara had presented, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Haman Beis had presented several different criteria to b'chayiv and tefillas kelim, and they're independent of one another. It has to be a kli matachas, it has to be a kli suda, and it has to be lakuach min ha'akam. So he says, look, it is a kli matachas, and it is a kli suda. It's a kli matachas, Maram says, because hakol halacha achar mamad, al pidin, this is called the metal kli, because the metal plays a crucial role, and it's a kli suda, because the barrel is in direct contact with the wine. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos understands that kli matachas and kli suda are not independent, separate criteria. They're integrated. Take a look. What Tosfos says is, well, you're not mishtamish behem derech hamateches. You're not servicing the wine via the metal. Kli suda amurim b'parshas shem mishtamshim behem. What does that mean? So the last line, kli suda amurim b'parshas shem mishtamshim behem, that's Tosfos' way of saying, coin the smock from Sif Dalet, that you need direct contact with the wine. The stovetop grates are absolutely critical for cooking the food, but they don't contact the food, so then they're not. That's not called kli suda. So that's what Tosfos means in the last line. Mishtamish means you have direct contact, and Tosfos says you have to mishtamish derech hamateches. That's a very rich phrase. The kli has to be tashmish suda means direct contact. It has to be that via the metal there's direct contact. Even though this is a kli mateches and it is a kli suda, but the matecha shabo is not the kli suda, or the kli suda shabo is not matechas. That's what Tosfos understands. The two tenorim are integrated. So you have to. That's why they say we don't care whether or not lemaskanum hakol halacha chamav in tumah tara. Why? Because in tumah tara there's only one condition. It has to be a kli matechas. It is a kli matechas. There is no condition of kli suda in tumah tara. Very clear from Maseches Kelim. You don't have to be kli suda to makabel tumah. A metal ladder is makabel tumah. A metal bicycle is makabel tumah, but it's not chayv and tefillas kelim because it's not kli suda. So that's a machlok. That seems machlok Tosfos and the Mordechai Lacha Lemaisa. When you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Katan Vav, so he says, he talks about Tosfos' case, and he says, Eino ton tefila, kli eitz with chashukim shel barzim v'chutz, eino ton tefila. And then so that sounds clearly like Tosfos. And the Shach points out that the Beis Yosef seems to have shifted. Because when Yosef Kar, when he was right earlier, when he was writing the Beis Yosef, he came to the conclusion that Yesh L'tov Lo B'lo Bracha, Mesapkan Le'ezlin Basar Mayim Lo. Not sure. And that's the Darkei Moshe quotes. And he says, Maril says that. And the Yisrael Hetzer says that. He says, so you can't just say, so he says, Yosef Kar seems to have changed his opinion, which is legitimate. He was somewhat older when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, so apparently he shifted his approach to the sugya from Suffolk to Vaday Lactosis, but the Shach thinks Halacha L'maisa, at least for Ashkenazim, you have a Darkei Moshe, even though the Ramad doesn't comment here, but you have a Darkei Moshe, and you have all the other late Chachmi Ashkenazim that he quoted, so he thinks in such a case you should be Chayiv in Tevila below Bracha. Should be Chayiv in Tevila below Bracha. And then you take a look at Sif Zion, so you have to figure out how Sif Zion relates to Sif Vav. How does Sif Zion relate to Sif Vav? The Sif Zion Shulchan Aruch tells us you have a koshal kesef mechur b'kli eitz, tzarech tevila. I have a silver cup which is attached to wood. Sounds like something you get from Hatzarfim. A blend of silver and cherry wood. You've seen the trays that they have sometimes. So the Shulchan Aruch there says you are chayiv tefila. Now that sounds that like it fits well with the previous sif, because this is the exact opposite situation. Here's where you have, sounds like silver on the inside and the wood is on the outside. So in this case, if the silver is in contact, so you are chayiv in tefila. But then the Shach points out Sif Katan Yud Gimel that this really breaks down to two different cases. Shacharit and Sivkot Yud Gimel. Number one, Mashma Tzarech Bracha. There were no, had no, he said Chai with no hesitation. It sounds like you're Chai Bevadai. And then he points out, well, the Beis Yosef, he says, Koshal Kesed Mamidu Shal Eitz, Yeshatav Lo Blo Bracha. So this is Beis Yosef, he was Masuva in this case too. Where you have, where the reverse of the barrel, the inside that's in contact is the silver, and the outside, which is the mamon, is wood. Yeah, what do you say?
Doesn't the smach say clearly that you do tefillah with the bracha in that case, in the bomb?
Yeah, which is what the Shulchan Aruch is the charakor in the smach directly. It says chayav tefillah, and which is why the shach says, sounds like chayav tefillah. Says, but the problem is, but the Beis Yosef said by the mamid, that you should be tovo belibracha. So the shach suggests there are really two different cases here. And let's think about this a little bit. The shach says, Yesh lomar dahasam ilavha eitz lohaya hakos mesukan for eitz hu ma'amido. He says, the Beis, now you could have said that it's the same shift from Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch that we had in the previous shift. But the shach thinks that here there's no change in psak. Here are just two different cases. Because the Shach points out that what the Beis Yosef was talking about is a scenario where the wood is actually a mamid. How is the wood a mamid? Either you have pieces of silver that are inlaid into a wooden frame, or you have a silver becher that doesn't have a flat bottom. And it sits, and imagine like a silver becher that's like shaped like a half an egg, and it sits in a wooden, it's attached to a wooden frame. The frame, that's what Shach Lassan is talking about. It would not stand without the wood. So when the wood is a mamid, that's when you're chayiv b'li bracha. He says, here, Shachar, maybe he's talking about case, rivadai chayiv, that's where the wood is just decorative on the outside. Let's think it through why. Why should that be the case? Because we're mesupik about what the din should be by davra hamamid. So there's the first case that the shach describes when you tefillah b'li bracha. That's the exact photo negative of the previous sif. So at least in the Beis Yosef, he had held that davra hamamid is a machlokas. So it goes both ways. And this is actually even a stronger situation. Because there is contact, but if you call it if you're willing to go Basar Hamaimid, the core suffix in Masech HaShabbos, if you go Basar Hamaimid, so then it's a wooden kli. So maybe even though there is metal contact, maybe I should say I have to identify the kli as a wooden kli and it's potter. So he says whenever you what emerges from the two shachs. Is whenever you have a blend of a composite kli, and it has involves multiple materials, and one is on the inside, one is in contact with the food, and the other one is a mamid, either way, it's tefillah b'li bracha. Whether it's metal on the inside with the wooden stand that holds it up, or whether it's wood on the inside, the barrel with the metal bands that go around, whenever you have a composite kli, where one is in contact, the other one is a mamid, it's always tefillah b'li bracha. When the metal is on the inside, and there is wood that's attached to it, but that's decorative, that's just lanoi. So then, or for some other reason, it's attached to a wooden, it has a wooden piece to it, but that's, but it's not mamid, so then it's vadai, chayiv. So let's say you have another example would be, let's say you have a one of those travel commuter coffee mugs. Now you have those coffee cups fit into the hole in the car, right? And they're plastic on the outside, but often they'll have a metal interior.
Or sometimes the other way around.
So let's say they have a metal interior, they have a glass interior sometimes. The glass is inert, and the glass will keep it hot or cold, whatever you're looking for. But oftentimes, without the casing, without, let's say you have metal on the metal sheet on the inside, and the contact, they don't want to have any plastic in contact with the hot liquid. So the inside is all metal, stainless steel. But that's, if you peeled away all the plastic, the stainless steel wouldn't stand. It would probably fall over. So that would be a situation where you'd be chayv in tefillah, b'li bracha. Because why? Because that's the scenario that the Shach is describing in Sif, Kat, and Yud Gimel. That's a kli kesef, not just mechubar, but kli she happens to have some plastic attached, but the plastic is actually a mammon. But now we're not done with Siv Zayin, because let's take a look at the Ramah. So the Ramah first talks about the next case that Mordechai describes, the pepper mill. Rechaim shel pilpulin shebesocha eitz. This is like the stereotypical classical picture of that carved wooden pepper mill. So the business end of it, on the inside, the actual mill, the casing, the housing is all wood, and that's pleasant to hold and pretty to look at. But inside the business end of it, the actual grinder is not wood. The actual in a situation, the actual grinder is metal. So that is Tzarech Tvila. That is Tzarech Tvila. So what's Ramah saying? What Ramah is saying is understand that if I have a... there are multiple parts that are in contact with the peppercorns. So even if only one of the parts that contacts the food is metal, but as long as that one part is functional, even though you can't see it, and even though from the outside you can't see the metal at all, you can't even really look, you can't see inside, it's not the way it's built, it doesn't matter. If one part of it, if one of the functional parts is metal, that's ready enough to be mechayev. And then the Shach quotes from the Darkei Moshe the following. So Darkei Moshe quotes in Hagos Maimini. Just as a quick aside, who or what is Hagos Maimini? You've probably seen in the past learning Rambam, you have Hagos Maimini on the bottom. You should just know that Hagos is sort of like a, can't call it a franchise exactly, but there was a term that was used to describe a number of the Svarim of the late Chachmei Ashkenaz, the late Rishonim of Ashkenaz, who began at a certain point, in the later period of the Rishonim, they began to write Hagos on pre-existing Sifrei Halacha. Hagos Ashri, Hagos on the Rosh, Hagos Maimini on the Rambam, Hagos Yisra Vehetra on the Yisra Vehetra, Hagos Smak on the Smak. What does that mean? That means you already have a earlier Sefer Halacha, and someone will come along and be Magia, meaning add more comments of other Rishonim on those same topics. The most famous one is, we don't call him Hagos, but the Bach refers to the Rabban Shulchan Aruch as the Hagos Shulchan Aruch. It's the first time you see it, you're not sure what he's talking about. But that's because, and the Rabban himself will start almost every comment with the word Hagah, because that's he was in that same style of a late Chachmei Ashkenaz writing, you know, a running comment, not really a commentary on a pre-existing Sefer Halacha, but adding more comments of Pesachim of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So you have to add that when you learn a Rambam, you see Hagos Maimon in the bottom. Sometimes Hagos Maimon is commenting on the Rambam, and sometimes Rambam just raised the topic. So let me tell you what Rabbi Tam said. Let me tell you what Rabbi Simcha said. So the Darkei Moshe, it's not like the Kesef Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah Melech, who are directly commenting on the Rambam and either explaining or asking or arguing. Hagos Maimon, it may just be the Rambam raised a general topic, and let me tell you a psak of Chachmei Ashkenaz on that topic. The Darkei Moshe quoted Hagos Maimon, when you have this Rechaim Shel Pilpulin, the pepper mill, but if you have the Tachton Mekabel HaTavlin, Ein Tzarech Tevila. And he says, Hagos Maimon writes that, and the Yisra Rabbi Yon, the Ashkenazi Rabbi Yon, the Yisra Vehetar, writes that as well. You have a cup at the bottom that catches the ground pepper, that collects the ground pepper, that cup does not require a tefila. Why is that? So what the Shach is saying, what the Shach is quoting, is a concept that Rav Moshe Feinstein raises in a tshuva about urns. If you have seen sort of the classic old school hot water urns, the last decade or two, the hot water urns usually are made as a single casing of plastic. The lip with a sort of, it comes off the top and you have the button on top. But the old fashioned urns had a black plastic housing and like a metal chrome urn on top with the water inside. And the black plastic housing with a little, always had that little orange light to show that was on. The element that actually, the electric element that provides the heat is in the black plastic housing. And then the metal container holds the water, and the metal container has a spout attached. So Moshe said, the question is, how are you going to total this? This is one of the first electrical clay seuda. This is one of the first examples where it became a larger question of how do you deal with electrical or more recently electronic clay seuda. So Moshe Feinstein writes a solution, which we'll get to, not today, sort of more global solutions to that question of toveling or not toveling electronics. But for this particular item, Moshe Feinstein said he has a solution. He said, you turn it upside down, and you only tovel up till here. Just tovel the metal part. The plastic part does not have to go into the mikveh. If you open the spout, then the water can fill up the entire metal part. The plastic part doesn't go in the mikveh. How come? How come when we get to when we shift to the other half of the Chosfil's Kalim, we talk about how you tovel Kalim. One of the most basic dinim in terms of the process of Chosfil's Kalim is you have to have kolat kli b'vasachas under the water, and so you have to have kolat kli. You can't tovel half a kli. When you have a handle, Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Beis, Sarach lahatpul yidei hakli. You have a frying pan. Even if the handle is plastic, you have to tovel the whole thing. If you just tovel the metal part, leave the plastic part out, you have not toveled the entire kli. So how are you talking that you just tovel the metal part of the urn, not the plastic part? The plastic part is even more significant than a handle. That's actually what's heating the water. So Moshe Feinstein says, exactly. It's so significant, that's not chayv in tefillah. Meaning, Moshe points out, he has a mission in Kalim to prove the idea, which is a stronger application of what the Shach is quoting here, Sifkat and Yudalit. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, we see the urn as two separate kalim that are connected together, and they have two different functions. The metal part is meant to hold water. It's a pot. The plastic housing below is that holds the element. That's a heat source. This is a pot, and that's an oven. They happen to be, for convenience, connected. But they're two separate kalim with two separate functions. Unlike the handle of the frying pan. The handle doesn't have a separate function. That's how you hold the pan. But here, this is meant to hold water, and this is meant to provide heat. And he says, now that's essentially what the Shach is quoting from the Hagos Maimon in the Yisvehetra here in Sifkat Yudalit. They come as a set, but the Kli HaElyon, the middle, that actually is Chayv in Tefillah because that has metal. The Kli HaTachton is not metal. It's only wood. So that's Potter. And Rav Moshe says, now, but this case of the urn is a little more of a Chiddush because it's not clear that the Kli HaTachton is connected. It sounds like they go together, but they're separate. Okay, so of course there's two separate Kalim, but their urn is connected. See, there's a Raifa mission in Kalim, in the world of Tumah and Tara, talks about something that's very similar, the third century equivalent of those inserts those plastic inserts you often have in the silverware drawers. And some kitchen sets, you have the drawer that comes out for cutlery and has built-in dividers to have an area for knives, an area for spoons, and so forth. And sometimes, some kitchen sets, the drawer is just empty. So you'll often buy in a kitchen supply store a plastic container that gives you five pockets for this type of spoon, for that type of spoon, for the knives. You know what I'm talking about. So the Mishnah talks about a similar scenario, and the Mishnah says, if an Adam Tameh, let's say a Zav, comes by and touches the pocket for the tablespoons. The Mishnah says, look, the Zav is an Ava Tumah, so he can be Makabal, he can be Tame Kalim. Kalim will become Rishon L'Tumah, but Kalim cannot become a Shein L'Tumah. So if one Tame Kli touches another Kli, the second one remains Tahar. So the Mishnah says, if you have this organizer with multiple pockets, Adam Tame touches one pocket, the other pockets don't become Tame. Even though it's a single piece of wood or metal or what have you. So your Mishnah says, what's Pshat Mishnah? What you see is that we see those as separate kelim that are fused together. They're connected, glued, screwed, or maybe even carved out of a single piece of wood. It doesn't matter. Each one has its own independent function. This pocket is meant for, this pocket holds the tablespoons, that pocket holds the teaspoons, that pocket holds the knives. They work independently. Obviously, they work in tandem. There's a reason why they're connected. But each one has its own independent function, and even though they're connected, single piece of wood or metal, but we treat them al pi halacha as separate kelim that happen to be connected. So Moshe says the same should certainly be true for the urn. This is a heat source, and that's a pot. So he says, Mimela, I'm gonna be down on each one separately. The metal part is chayiv and tefila because it's both a klei suda and a klei mateches. The bottom is, number one, is not a klei suda. Number two, is not a klei mateches. Number one, is not a klei suda because it has no direct contact with the water. It's built by design. No water gets into where the electrical equipment is. And it likely is entirely plastic. There may be metal inside. But even if there's metal inside, which would deem it a klei mateches, like the Ramah just said by the Rechaim Shel Pilplin, yes. But on the other hand, it has no contact with the water. Then the Ramah goes on to discuss. The funnels. Mashpecha shel barzel, barzel shel barzel, shama tachos kulin tzrichim tefila. You have funnels, or you have faucets. Even though you're not making the food with that, you're not preparing the food with that. But if that's used in the course of, it's not such a its function is not so critical, but still, it's used to help prepare or serve food. That is chayiv and tefila. So that's presumably the chiddush of the first line, that sort of function is sufficient to be considered klei suda. But then he says, that's only because it's basically a metal kli. The function of the kli is not so important. How important is the funnel? Not critical, but still, it's a metal kli. It does service food. It's chayiv. But he says, but if I'm dealing with a composite kli, it's basically a wooden funnel with a little bit of metal on the bottom. The tube that comes off the funnel is metal. Then that's really insignificant. And if I have a funnel that looks like this, and the bottom here, this is all wood, and this, or maybe even this, is metal. So it's a composite kli, and that function is really not critical. It's a lot more convenient to have a longer tube coming off it, or maybe because the end, the tip of it is metal, it'll wear better, it'll last longer. But that's insignificant. Even though it's in contact with the food, that's an insignificant part of the. It's an insignificant contribution to the tashmish. That's the way the Shach explains it in Sif Katan Tezvav. He says it's not a mamad. It's not significant. It's not so material to the function of the kli. It's not mamad the kli. If I took away the metal, it wouldn't fall apart, and it wouldn't stop functioning. So then that's already insignificant. So that sounds like that sometimes going to come up in the on the coffee mugs. If you have a metal rim, if you have a metal decoration around the outside, that is not enough to be mechayiv in tefillah. Let's talk about where we're headed going forward. I know some of the Chevra already started the upcoming Se'ifim about the third condition, the condition of bialus, and some are at the on the cusp of starting mitzashem. And then there's also the upcoming four seifim. The upcoming four seifim are the last major chunk of the first half of Tfilas Kehillim. First half of Tfilas Kehillim is which chayim or chayavim. So the last major chunk in Shulchan Aruch are the next four seifim. So yeah, put out my makamos next week. The next four seifim are pretty straightforward in terms of Tur Beis Yosef. Look back to each sif by sif. See the Tur Beis Yosef. Look back to the Gemara and Rishonim. See the Gemara and Rishonim there more broadly. Then Shulchan Aruch, Shach Pischei Tshuva. But the other part of the other elements of the which Kehillim are Chayavin are to talk a little more about materials, the important contemporary shilas about materials, and to talk a little bit more about electronic Kehillim. Both of those issues are really rooted a bit in Se'if Aleph. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has several important tshuvas about apple juice jars, a couple other scenarios that come up. What do you do about disposable kalim, disposable pans, things of that sort? So B'li Neder for next week. I don't think we really need Maram. I'm glad to put it down on paper. I don't think it's critical to have Maram Komas for Sifim Ches Ches Yudid Aleph, but the other things will be hard to find. So B'li Neder for Monday, I'll have those Maram Komas for you. And in next week's Chabur, we will at least cover the issues of Bialus, and perhaps we'll, based on time, we may get to the other issues as well. Then after that, we're going to move on to the other half of Tfilas Kehillim, which is Seifim Beis and Gimel, as well as from Sif Yud Beis and on, all of which the second half of Tfilas Kehillim, the process. Who tovels, how you tovel, chatzitzas, stickers, brachos, how do you hold it, ketanim, so on and so forth, a lot of issues in the second half of Tfilas Kehillim as well. I'm glad to stick around for questions.